Hebrew, the word heart in this verse, he's talking about watch out for who you really are, who you really are, okay? So what I want you to see here is this. What Solomon is saying here is guard your heart. He's saying this. He's saying three things. Guard your mind. He's saying guard your will. He's telling us to guard our emotions because that's who you really are. You're made up of those three parts. You're made up of the mind. That's where your thoughts originate. Your thoughts are very, very important. That is where your will is. That's where desires come from, where you're inside of your will. And those desires a lot of times formulate our choices and our decisions. So guard your will. And then he says, guard your emotions. That's where what? Our feelings are located. Our feelings. So what he's saying here, be very careful of the feelings that you allow to take place in your life, okay? So let's move on. Third, he tells us what we're to do with our heart. We are to do what, everybody? Guard. Everybody say guard. Okay, that's where I want to spend a little more time this morning, guard. And I want to say a couple things here. First of all, I want to begin by saying that each and every one of us has a personal responsibility to guard our hearts. It's not my responsibility to guard your heart. It's your responsibility to guard your heart. By the way, I didn't mean to say this, but as parents of kids that are still living at home, I think we do play a part in guarding our kids' hearts. Does everybody hear that as parents? Say, you betcha. Because why? Our kids aren't mature enough yet. And that's why we're there, is to help them guard their heart. But every one of us has that personal responsibility to guard our hearts. Okay? And I just want to make sure that you're well aware of that. So what does that mean to guard your heart? Think about that, guard your heart. Just think to yourself this morning, what does that mean to guard my heart? Well, I was thinking about that word guard this week, and my thought process went this direction, and that is a guard primarily has two responsibilities. A guard has two responsibilities. Responsibility number one is a guard says this is what's not allowed in. There's certain things that aren't allowed in. And then a guard also has a responsibility that there are certain things that are allowed in. Those are things that we allow in because they're for our what? Our good. So a guard has a multiple job here. Guard what's not allowed in and to guard what is allowed in. Okay? I want to illustrate it this way because this is how it was connecting in my thought process this week. When I was a younger man, how many people remember your younger years, okay? When I was about the age of these six young people that got across or stood across from us today, when I was 18 years old and you were to ask me in a situation like this what I was going to do for my life, it would have been almost embarrassing because I would have had to tell you that I'm not sure. Has anybody ever been there? I'm not sure. So I was weighing this whole thing in my life and I thought, I could go to college and go in debt, and that's okay if you really know what you want to do. And then I thought, wow, I heard about the Air Force, and I thought, wow, this is a good deal. I'm going to get a full-time paycheck at age 18 years old. I'm going to get 30 days paid vacation as an 18-year-old. I mean, it was sounding really good to me, okay? So what I did is I decided to enlist in the Air Force. Actually, as I look back on that, it was probably one of the top five decisions that I've made for my life personally. God did great things in my life in the 4 years that I was in the Air Force. Well, the reason why I bring that up is because when you go to the Air Force, you take a test and they let you know what your different aptitudes are, abilities. And this is what happened with me. They said, hey, you can be a security specialist. Wow, everybody get excited about that, okay? What is a security specialist? It's one who specializes in security, okay? That's how it went for me. And basically, my primary responsibility after going to basic, getting some training, being assigned to a base in Omaha, Nebraska, I had a very wonderful opportunity come my way. And what they did is they asked me to be a guard on an airplane that was vital to our national security. It was a really, really great opportunity, okay? And I look back and I say, wow, God, that was amazing, okay? And basically, my primary job, along with three other guys, the four of us basically flew and went wherever this airplane went, stateside, across, overseas. We would go wherever that airplane went, okay? And our job primarily was one thing, to guard the entrance into that aircraft. Basically, I was a guard, okay? I was a guard. So what would happen is we would park this aircraft in what they would call a restricted area, and they would park that right their aircraft there, and then people would come up who would want to get onto the airplane. And the job of the guard was to determine who was allowed and who was not allowed. So it was pretty simple. So this is what it looked like. Somebody would approach the aircraft at any time of the day, day or night, sometime 3 in the morning. And when you saw them approaching, you would go out to meet them with your M16 over your shoulder. You'd run out to meet them. And the first thing you would do is they were required to have a badge. It was called a restricted area badge. It told what areas they were allowed into. And this aircraft would be designated a certain area. So the first thing we had to check, were they allowed to even go into this area? So what they did is they trained us to be able to look at for about 10 different things on that badge within about 10 seconds to see if they were authorized. Then if they were authorized, there was a second step, and that was called, there was something called a passenger manifest. Passenger manifest was basically a list of names that was published of who was allowed on the aircraft. So you take the badge, you check it out, that checked out, then you run over to the passenger manifest. And if both of those things checked out, what you would do is you would usually salute because it was an officer, and then you'd say, sir, go ahead, you can get onto the aircraft. Okay, that's the way it went. So if they passed through, if they were authorized, you said, yeah, go into the aircraft. But here's the deal. If they didn't check out, defensive measures were taken. Is that hard for you guys to believe? Defensive measures were taken. Access would be denied. And if they continued to persist on getting into the restricted area, you would take your M16 off of your shoulder and you would tell them to turn around and you would run them away from the resource as far as you could. And when you got there, you laid them on the ground. And you hoped it was a very hot day on hot pavement. That always felt so good. And then what you do is you basically handcuff them, take it off, okay? So why do I bring up this story? Because basically, by the way, one last thing. This was a job that was done 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Sunshine, rain. I remember nights being in front of that aircraft when it was 20 below zero, raining, thinking, Lord, what in the world am I doing out here? Pasturing's a piece of cake after that. But here's the reason why I bring that up, because we should take the same approach when it comes to guarding our heart. Everybody say, wow, I knew that would just amaze you, okay? You should take this same approach when it comes to guarding what you allow into your mind, what you allow into your will, what you allow into your emotions. And we need to be diligent about what we allow in, because there's a lot of good things we should allow into our life. For example, what? God's word. Truth. Our life should just be flooded. Let it in, let it in, let it all in. But there's other things that we shouldn't allow in. Okay? So let me just share some things. For example, we should guard our heart. How? By controlling what we allow our eyes to see. You can write that down. You should guard your heart by controlling what you allow your eyes to see. Very important that you are careful in guarding what you allow these two things to see, because it comes into your life. Okay? You should be very careful what you allow yourself to see when you're sitting in front of that computer, when you're sitting at home watching TV, movies, just to mention a few. You need to be very careful what you control to allow into your heart through your eyes. Look at what Jesus says. It's on the screen. Jesus says, your eye is a lamp for your body. A pure eye lets in what? Everybody say it. Sunshine. A pure eye lets sunshine into your soul, but an evil eye shuts out and plunges you into darkness, spiritual darkness. Jesus says, make sure that the light you have is not really darkness. If you are filled with light, with no dark corners, then your whole life will be radiant. How many people want to lead a radiant life? About 3 of you. That's impressive. Woo, thank the Lord. We're catching fire, okay? Radiant. As though a floodlight is shining on you. Folks, be very careful what you allow your eyes to see. Because the eyes are the window for your soul, for the real you. It's very important. We're going to talk why it's so important. Number two, we should guard our heart by controlling what we allow our ears to hear. The music we listen to, the lyrics of the music we listen to, talk shows. Oh yeah, I went there. Other people's negativity. Be careful not to always be hanging out with people. All they are is negative. Don't let that into you. Don't make sure you don't allow that to get into you. Are you hearing me? Okay? Make sure you're not listening to popular opinion. Be very careful what you allow your ears to hear because it gets into your soul, into your heart. Okay, number three, we need to guard control of what we allow our minds to think about. Your mind to think about. Look at this verse, Philippians 4:8, Paul says, fix your thoughts on what is, everybody say it, true. So if there's something not true, you need to learn how to dismiss that from your mind. He says, fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Think about things that are excellent. Think about things that are worthy of praise. That should be the standard of what you're allowing. This should be the blueprint of what you're allowing your mind to think about. Your mind is very strong. It's very persuasive. Your actions follow your mind, your thinking. Be very careful what you allow into your mind. It's a very important, important thing. Okay? So here's the deal. We are to be people who are in guard. We're on guard of our heart. You have the responsibility each and every day what you're going to allow in. And you have the responsibility each and every day of the things that you're not going to allow into your life. Okay? And it's a responsibility that Solomon says above all else. Top shelf, this is very important, what you allow into your heart, what you allow into your mind, your will, and your emotions. You need to be very careful what goes in, what goes out. Now, here's the question, why? You say, Mike, you've said a lot here, but why? You got to convince me why. Well, that's part two. Look at the verse. Put the verse on the screen, part two. I want us to all read this together. For everything you do flows from it. How many people think about that? Do you really believe that? That everything you do flows from what? Your heart. It flows from your mind, your will, and your emotions. Every action that you carry out, where does it originate? It originates in your heart. Okay? That's the starting place. We think sometime, well, the starting place was in the action. The starting place wasn't the action. That was the fruit of what was in your heart. Okay? Very, very important. Look at what Jesus said. I think this is the verse that takes the cake this morning. Jesus said it this way in Luke 6:45. He said, a good tree. And he's not talking about trees. He's talking about what? People. He said, a good tree produces good things. Wherefrom? The treasury of a good heart. So Jesus is saying, hey, if you have a good heart, you're a good person, what's going to happen is you're going to produce good things. Why? Because you have a good heart. You've allowed good things into your heart. As a result, good things will come out of your life, okay? Look at the second part. An evil person produces what? Evil things. Wherefrom? The treasury of a, what kind of heart? Evil heart. Wow. So what he's saying here is the condition of your heart determines what comes out of your life. The words that come out of your life, the thoughts that come out of your life, the actions, the feelings, the emotions that come out of your life. It all starts in your heart. And Solomon says, if that's the case, folks, you better be very careful each and every day of your life what you allow into your heart, what you allow into your life. It's vital. It's important. It's so important. Look what Jesus said about how important this is. Look at Mark 7. He says, Jesus said this, it is what comes from where? Inside that defiles you. For from within, out of a person's heart, and look at the list he says, out of a person's heart comes these things, evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these vile things come from where? Within. They all start right here in your heart. And that is what Jesus says, that's what's going to defile you, what comes from your heart. So Solomon would say this morning, be very careful each and every day to guard what you allow in. It's your responsibility, parents, you're to help your kids with this, because it's going to determine what they do. It's going to determine our behavior. See, we always try to adjust and change the outcomes, the outward things. But Jesus is saying, no, don't start with the outward things. Start where? In your heart. Start in your heart, making sure your heart is in order. I want to close with a story today. It's a story of a true person. His name was David. And David was what? He was a king. And we're told that in the Bible, he was a king over a great nation called Israel. And one day, David sent his men off to battle. And when his men were off for battle, there was, we're told that David went up to his rooftop one day. And when he was up on his rooftop, he looked off in a distance. And the Bible says he saw this very beautiful woman. Very beautiful woman. We know today her name is what? Bathsheba. Is that right? Good. I'm glad I'm on it today. Okay, Bathsheba. So this is what he did. He told his men, one of his men, to go over and have her come over to his place. And when she got over there, if you know the story, what happened is David committed what? Adultery with Bathsheba. Bathsheba became pregnant. And David was scurrying what to do. So he called home Bathsheba's wife or husband off in the battlefield and said, hey, go and sleep with your wife. But being a very loyal man to his service, he said, no, I could never do that. And David became furious. He didn't know what to do. So does anybody know the rest of the story? He went and did what? He had him. What's his name again?
Uriah.
Yeah, you're right. Just testing you. He had Uriah go to the front of the battle lines where it was most dangerous so that he could be what? Killed. David was justifying himself. So what has David done now? He's committed adultery. He's killed a man. He's murdered a man. And life went on for a short time. And then one day there was a prophet of God named Nathan came to him. And Nathan came to him and basically told David everything he had done. The cat was out of the bag. He said, David, basically, I know that you've committed adultery. I know you've committed murder. And at that moment, David had a choice of how he was going to respond to God. Would he tell the prophet, get away from me, you don't know what you're talking about? Or would he repent of his sins and ask God for help and ask God for mercy? Well, if you know your Bible, I want you to look to Psalm chapter 51. And Grant, I don't have this written down, so I need to read it off the screen. This was David's prayer after Nathan the prophet came and approached him about the evil things he had done. David prayed to God, have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you, Lord, and only you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say. And your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner, yes, from the moment my mother conceived me, but you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. How many people know sin is going to take away your joy? Amen? Sin is not fun, it's a joy robber. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. God, please remove the stain of my guilt. And here's the verse I want us to look at today. David concludes by saying, God, create in me what? Everybody, a clean heart. A clean mind, a clean will, a clean emotions. God, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Above all else, guard your heart. From it flow all the issues of life. One translation says this, it will determine where you end up. This is what I want us to do this morning. I just want us to bow our heads. And I want that to be our prayer this morning as we close, that God, you know where I've been, what I've done. You currently know the condition of my heart. But God, I come today in a spirit of repentance. I come, Lord, and I ask, Lord, would you come and would you create in me a clean heart? And I want to let you know today that whole process begins how? By asking Jesus Christ into your life, into your heart. And if you've never done that, that's where this whole process begins this morning. You got to ask Jesus to come in and forgive you of your sins and repent of your sins and turn from sin and turn to God. And at that moment, we get a new heart, a clean heart. But then there's also us who maybe we've been walking with God for years and for years. And we know that our heart, we've allowed some things into our heart that just should not be there. Maybe it was through our eyes. Maybe it was through our ears. Maybe it was in our thinking. We've allowed some things to come in our heart. And I want this to be a day where we just cry out to God and say, God, would you come and just create in me a clean heart? Will you renew a right spirit within me and begin a new work in my life so that I can begin to see some new things come out of my life? Things that are pleasing, honoring, and glorifying to you. So, Lord, we stand before you today. We sit before you today in your presence. And we ask, God, that you'd come and just clean us up, Lord. Clean us and create in us a new heart. Through the precious blood of Jesus, create in us a clean heart. And, Lord, we just ask that you would just clean us up. And now new things would begin to be produced from our lives. New actions that would be pleasing to you. We ask that you would do that in Jesus' name. And everyone together said, amen. This is what I want you to do. Here's your homework. Write the verse down, Proverbs 4:23. Put it somewhere this week where you're going to see it multiple times. On your car dashboard, on your mirror. Even better, memorize it. Memorize one sentence, one verse. And what I want you to do throughout this week is, as you're walking in your day, begin to quote that verse, Lord, above all else, help me to guard my heart.